Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The distance is quite simply much too far for me to row. It seems farther than ever before. Oh no, I need you.
You guys know this song?
No.
Sounds like the dude from Death Cab Cutie, but I don't know if that's who it is.
That's who it is, it's not just the dude, it's Death Cab for Cutie.
Oh, okay.
One of my favorite songs from them. I have a, I don't want to say love-hate relationship with Death Cab for Cutie, but they're one of those bands where, like, some songs I love and other songs I just am not into at all.
It's hot and cold.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah, I get you on that. I'm trying to remember, like, some artists, there's songs I cannot wait to skip.
Yeah, yeah.
And then other songs, you're like, this is my jam.
I bet you a majority of Death Cab for Cutie songs are not my jam. There was like an era in the early 2000s, their album in 2003 and 2005.
That you loved?
That I loved. Their album Plans, I loved. This one comes, this is a title track to an album called Transatlanticism. But just like good vibey songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, they have a new album coming out, which is what made me think of them. And I'm like, I wonder, is it going to be an album that I hate? Or is it going to be an album that I totally listen to like crazy?
Have you listened to the new single?
No, this is a 2003 song.
No, but have you listened
to it? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is it any good?
I'm on the fence about it. I haven't really decided yet.
Oh, could go either way.
I don't love the lyrics, but the music is okay.
They had a hit a couple years ago that was played on the radio quite a bit. I Will Possess Your Heart, I think it was.
Yeah, they had
pretty
a
good
few songs. Yeah, I don't really tend to like all their radio songs either, but whatever. This song just keeps going like this for
perfect
8 minutes.
Sometimes it can just be like you just need to be at a certain level, certain vibe. Yeah.
You know, I did something I think for the first time ever on the radio this week. I don't recall me ever having gone down this road before, but I'm pretty sure on the air this week on our radio show, may have been the first time I ever to just freely spoke about crushing like a vape pen and smoking weed. Like,
really?
I know we've talked about it and stuff, but I've never brought it up so casually.
I didn't even notice because I guess you probably bring it up casually on the podcast.
Yeah, maybe. But I don't, I'm always like, I've always been very sensitive about the fact that I have two young kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't care who else knows that I recreationally use marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And cannabis, whatever. But I've always been sort of like tried to downplay it a bit, like, the odd time that I, whatever, you know. But we were talking about the Leafs game and like how crazy the game was. And I don't know when you're listening to this, but we were recording this just before game 6
mm-hmm.
of the playoffs. And game 5 was intense. And I just, wanted a little help falling asleep. So I crushed the vape pen a couple of times.
Yeah.
But I'm also like finding myself now, like my older daughter kind of called me on weed the other day.
She did?
Yeah, she brought it up.
What did she say?
Not in a like, oh my God, I can't believe I think you smoke weed. But she just acknowledged that she knows that I partake.
Okay.
And I bet it's because I don't really go out of my way to hide it. Like I've got a couple of cannabis drinks in my fridge.
Yeah.
At the back, kind of hidden behind a beer can, but not really that hidden if somebody was snooping around, which she now is apparently doing. And, we've caught her kind of trying to experiment with alcohol. And I guess it's because I really try and drive a message with my girls, which is like I don't want them using weed
mm-hmm.
until they're in their 20s because there's too much evidence.
How
that
old
shows.
Is she?
Emma's turning 16.
Okay.
So this would be, and their access to edibles and all that stuff.
Oh.
I mean, it's there if they want them.
It's there.
And I try and drive home the message, which is your brain's still developing. Don't get into it.
Yes.
Because if you get into it, you're going to permanently damage your brain and it'll never recover. And why would you want to live a lifetime with a permanently damaged brain?
Oh my God, my cousin is living a lifetime with a permanently damaged brain. Psychosis brought on by cannabis use. Okay.
Was it a teenager? Like when he was involved?
Yeah, he was smoking as a teen. And then I believe they started noticing the psychosis in his early 20s. Okay, it does happen and it's serious. And he's now schizophrenic. And he, you know, it's very difficult to deal with schizophrenia.
And it's hard to say that, like, that was the only factor that, he may have been predisposed to it.
Yes.
It may have triggered it. It may have happened anyway, but it definitely. If there is something that you can avoid taking just to have a chance to avoid that issue in your life,
if you are predisposed, or maybe it could have bought him some more time before, you know, he started having events where he was hearing voices. And, you know, it was very disturbing what he was going through. It was very difficult for him and difficult for his family. So maybe it would have bought him a couple more years where he wasn't dealing with that, or maybe it wouldn't have come on in the first place.
And I know weed does make me paranoid, and it does mess with my brain.
Yes,
if I do it a lot. Like it does. We've talked about this off the air, off our podcast, which is there was a time where I was just trying to get away from it because I found myself just looking over my shoulder a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Assuming the worst. Everyone on the street that I walk by wants to like mug me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shadows scare me. You know, walking to the car, actually today, even walking to the car, because it was, you know, 4:15 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
When you get two shadows, because you're getting a shadow from two different light sources. And I just kind of look, I see my shadow, and then I see a shadow behind it, which is like another street light from a different angle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm quickly turning around like, is somebody following me? But it's a double shadow.
Oh my God.
So that kind of stuff, I'm just heightened to that paranoia via the weed, you know?
You know what we've been doing lately is we've been lowering THC. And I think this is a blessing because of legalization, but also a little bit of a curse, because at first we were like, well, we want to get high, so we want the most THC possible. But what we've realized through, you know, just ending up smoking a joint that somebody else provided with lower THC and more CBD is that, oh, it's actually sometimes better. In many ways, we prefer it. It's less of like a mind F, you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
Yes.
I've bought like CBD dominant weed before and used it in a vaporizer, and it's way less heady.
Yeah.
Than other stuff, and more body buzz.
Body buzz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Which is nice.
Yeah. Bundus is not like a weed guy at all. He goes nuts.
Yeah. Like, I mean, just like even you're talking about it right now, and I'm just like, why would you even want to put yourself through that? Like,
I know.
The potential of being paranoid or seeing things. Like, the times that I've experimented with it, and it was mainly in my youth, like, I experienced so many weird things, like, and so many weird feelings that there was nothing about it that I enjoyed. Because it's just, I'm paranoid all the time. I'm hearing things. I'm seeing things. Like, all my friends look funny to me. I'm not seeing my friends. I'm just seeing the dark sides in people. Like, my brain would go nuts.
Yeah, I don't smoke weed like that, though. I mean, generally, when I talk about paranoia, it's not when I'm high. It's sort of the day after. And I don't consume a ton of it, so it'd be like a little toot here or there to help me sleep or just to enhance a moment. Because I find weed will make me feel anything I'm feeling just times five.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if I'm laughing, it's like something's a little funnier, or if everything's just a little more of whatever it is you're feeling. So if you're scared, I'll be a little more scared.
Yeah.
I do find, like, if I have a boys' weekend and everybody's like overindulging in every aspect, like booze and weed or whatever, after that, then I'll carry more paranoia with me for the days that happen after that.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Yikes.
Yeah.
So what did...
It's a balance. You know, I try not to do too much.
What did your daughter say to you? Like, what were the words?
It was just sort of like, oh, you know, it's the same for cannabis. Kind of like something like that. Because we were having a conversation about drinking. And then she just basically, recycled what I had said, but then added, oh, you know, for cannabis too, right, Dad? Type of thing.
Mm.
So,
ooh. Boo.
It's like, ooh, I'm like, oh yeah, I know, it's true. You know, it's just the.
Burn.
But I say, but you should stay away from it as long as you can. Wait till your 20s, and then maybe if you want to try it, try it then. or if you want to use it recreationally. Like, the perfect balance, I think, is a little both, because alcohol's poison. It's poison.
It's poison.
But I love the feeling, you know, of having a few drinks. So you just augment it with a little toot.
You know, I was growing up in a household that didn't have much sugar. And look at what happened. I became psycho about sugar. I was hiding cakes under my bed. I was like, you know, I became addicted to sugar. I would go into Sugar Mountain. It was like Norm going into Cheers. No lie. They were like, hey! Yeah. Like, it was a pro. I'd walk by Sugar Mountain. If I didn't go in, my stomach would flip. Like, how messed up is that? I had to quit. I had to come off sugar. So I feel like it's partly because I grew up in this house that didn't have much. So I feel like exposing your kids to like a healthy way to use cannabis and alcohol means that they're going to use it with balance, hopefully later in life. Do you think?
We definitely have conversations about alcohol because we have reason to have conversations about alcohol with my older daughter. Yeah. You know, stuff has come up where we realize that there was drinking going on.
There's parties happening and stuff.
So it becomes that thing where it's like, I know I was doing it at her age, but what do you say? And so now we're just trying to send a message of like, don't over drink. It's so easy to do.
Yeah.
You know, the difference between this much vodka and that much vodka
Yes. Is
the difference between like having a good buzz and throwing up
and landing in the hospital sometimes.
Well, if it's
right? Extreme
enough, yeah. And then what to do if your friend drinks too much, and how you can never leave them, and
Yes. How
you have to call us if that happens, because you're not really educated enough to know the difference between drinking a little too much and like full on alcohol poisoning that needs to be treated in a hospital environment, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that it's okay if you call us and that we won't be mad.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if your friend is like so sick and like they're in our circle of friends, call the parents, like text them and just say,
we have a problem.
So-and-so needs help. They've, you know, they drank too much.
Yeah.
And can you pick us up? And there'll be no judgment. But so it's crazy because you don't want to condone it, but at the same time it's happening. So like, how do you balance that? You know, I don't want my kids walking around the house like thinking that they could just drink openly in front of us. Like
No. Some
of them, I had friends that we could drink in the basement. You know, the parents knew what we were up to. They wanted it to be in their house and not out at the park, you know.
You have kind of like Euro parents, Bundus. Were they like pouring you wine at a young age?
I mean, like on occasion they might let me have a sip of something, or like my grandfather would let me have some of his beer or something like that. But
your 16-year-old friends weren't coming over
No. With
six packs
No. And
opening them in the
that
basement.
That would never happen.
Yeah. I had a buddy, Chris, when I was growing up. I was 14. He was 16. And his mom, it was single mom, she didn't care what we were doing. We'd be at the family cottage,
Yeah. And
we'd like go pick up booze at the general store and put it on her tab. And she knew what we were up to in the basement. And you know, we weren't like getting crazy drunk, but we were having like some drinks.
Getting lit.
And getting a buzz.
Yeah.
And I guess she was one of those parents where it was like, well, I'd rather it happen under my roof than under somebody else's.
Yeah, but was she sleeping or was she checking
she was,
in?
She was probably an alcoholic and drinking with a bunch of people. I think eventually she ended up giving up alcohol. But anyway, Yeah, it's that's a tough point in being a parent, is how do you like balance the teaching and acknowledging and without condoning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd rather my daughter just wait, but at the same time, if she's going to do it, I want her to be responsible about it.
You're trying to be realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah. My daughter, my 5-year-old daughter, asked me for a sip of my beer last weekend.
Don't give her a sip of beer. Give her a sip of something else.
I gave her a sip.
Tequila. Give her a sip of tequila. That's what my kids used to be like, can I have a sip? And then they'd put their mouth even to the glass without even putting any in their mouth. And they'd be like, oh, it's the worst.
Yeah.
They wanted nothing to do with it. Beer might actually taste good.
Well, you know, it's a Guinness, so it almost looks like chocolate milk Yeah. Or something, right? So she took a sip and I was very thankful she didn't like it. But I was thinking, oh my God, you know, I don't want to not normalize it. I want it to be like, I was kind of hoping to be European in that sense that, you know, sometimes the European family lets the kids have a little bit of wine at the table on Christmas,
Yeah. You
know.
We did that at New Year's.
Yeah. Champagne?
No, I think it was just wine on the table with dinner. Like a little, you know,
little sploosh.
Quarter glass, a little sploosh. Turns out they brought a few splooshes of their own.
Oh, did
but,
they?
Well, I don't know.
Do they know not to go into your stash?
They do now.
Okay. Because tequila, I mean, that's a classic thing you would drink and then fill up with a bit of water.
Yeah, but unfortunately for them, the T-Bird drinks his booze mostly straight and neat. And you would know the difference between like watered down tequila.
And you told them that straight up? Like if you touch it, I'll know.
Yeah.
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 I'll know.
Yeah.
And I also let her know that I measure the bottles and, you know, all that.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know.
You have to.
You charge him for it, too?
Would I charge her? What do you mean? Oh.
Like, well, like if she dipped in, would you be like, oh, that's coming?
Let's just say if it did happen, I don't want to incriminate anybody, but they would lose their allowance to allow me to replace the booze that they had stolen.
Ah, I see. Smart, smart. That's a couple of weeks of allowance, I would assume, if it was a half-decent bottle.
Well, it wouldn't be a whole bottle. It'd be like a little bit of this and a little bit of that. That's what people do when they're teenagers stealing booze from their parents, right? You create the little concoction. You don't want anything to, you don't want it to be too noticeable.
Yeah.
You create what's called jungle juice, and then that makes people sick.
Do you have any weird alcohols in your cabinet, like that you don't normally use that somebody dropped off? That would be hilarious.
Yeah, probably. Well, there's some stuff at the back. I'm trying to think of what, like, the worst thing I have in there is.
Some hypnotic or LSA.
That wouldn't be bad, though. I think a teenager would probably like hypnotic.
Probably, you're right, yeah.
You know, some just fruity. Like coolers. Yeah, anything that's like got any sugar in it, they'd probably be into.
Yeah.
You know, something that would, like, Cointreau, is that what I have, I think? Or no, Triple Sec, I would have to make margaritas.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I was thinking about putting a lock on it, but then I'm like, I'll forget the combo, and then I'll be like,
yeah, you know, trying to unlock it when you've had a couple too.
Yeah. Be like, be cutting into the cupboard. Anyway, it's a complicated time as a parent.
It
you
is.
Just try and send the right message. Sip, don't chug. Don't
my
do
dad,
shots.
My dad
know?
Found.
Wait, nobody, like, that's the thing is, like, you could say that till you're blue in the face. Kids are not going to listen.
No.
They're going to do what their friends are doing.
Yeah, but I just, it's so dangerous to drink too quickly straight booze. Even if you chase it with water or something or dump it in a bottle of Gatorade, if you put too much in there and you chug it, man.
I totally agree with you. I just feel like most people only learn that themselves, like you know that old saying, like the smart man learns from his mistakes, the wise man learns from others. Like most people are not wise; they don't learn from other people's mistakes. They don't take other people's advice seriously.
You can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
That's not the expression. No, that's the wrong one.
Is that not right? I think it is.
I don't know if that applies in this case.
Or what's the other one? You could fish for a man. What is that? You teach a man.
Teach a man to fish, and you can give a man a fish.
You know, eat for a day.
Yeah, you can teach him to fish. That still doesn't apply in this case. Nah, I mean, look, everybody, how many times have you thrown up from drinking? For me, it's happened twice in my life, and the second time was also the first time that I smoked a joint.
Oh.
And it was probably the joint that pushed me over the edge, because I learned pretty quickly the first time I drank too much. I was with buddies, sleepover, bottle apple cider. And I was just the one who was chugging it, feeling indestructible. And then I was sick out of my mind.
Yeah.
And I never got sick from just straight alcohol ever again.
Smart.
I learned to sip and just wait and see what it does.
Yeah,
and I always knew my limit.
You got to.
University didn't throw up once from over drinking.
Wow, that's impressive.
It's awful. Why? You know,
I know
it's
awful. It is awful, but it happens. It happens sometimes, like
by accident.
You
most
forget
of
to
the time,
eat,
right?
Like you didn't have a chance to eat, and then all of a sudden you're drinking, and then you're like, oh, I'm not hungry, you know. And I remember being young and stupid, and like thinking, oh, well, perfect, I'm not hungry anymore, you know, and cut a few calories out of my day, and I'll just have some more drinks. Big mistake. That happens to a lot of my friends. It happened to
us. That was part of the lesson I was trying to explain to my daughter, which is there's so many factors where one day maybe you had two drinks and you felt fine, or you had a nice buzz or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day you have two drinks and it has a different effect on you because you haven't eaten and you're tired and you're whatever.
You were in the sun all day.
Yeah, you're dehydrated. Like there's so many variables that you really have to just take your time and wait and see what happens before you grab another like shot or swig out of the jungle juice.
Don't do shooters.
We were hearing from one parent that like some of the kids in not necessarily her circle of friends, but in that age group, They were paying homeless people to buy booze for them at the LCBO. Or, you know, the people that sometimes are out asking for money? They were getting them to get the booze. And it's like, so then it's, yeah. Because when we were talking about
another problem,
when we were talking about like don't steal booze from us, and you're like, well, it might be better than the other way people are getting it. And it's like, you might be right. I don't know. Like, don't drink, but you're gonna drink. But I don't know. It's a very complicated.
Would the guy pick out the alcohol they wanted, or would he just be going towards the what did they like the Colt 45?
I don't know. I don't know how it works. No. I don't think it was my daughter and her friends, but it was another parent hearing from another parent that their kid and their circle of friends were doing it. So then they were like, wow, do we give our kids a bit of booze so they can experiment so they don't end up in a dangerous situation paying somebody who's out in front of a LCBO to go in and buy them liquor?
And then don't you have to like pay them as well? Like,
yeah, yeah.
You have to give them more money so they could buy their own booze?
Yeah, of course. Or you give them cash, yeah. I mean, that's what I did. I paid my brother, you know, to go buy me booze, him and his friends that could get it. We'd be like, can you get us a six-pack? And they'd be like, how much are you going to give us? And be like, oh, fuck, here we go.
Of course.
You gotta start, like, pooling your money together. And a six-pack, I don't know what if it cost $10 at the time. But we'd have to give them 25, you know? We overpaid. But at least it was my brother, and I wasn't in a dangerous situation. But you pay somebody who's essentially out in front of the place, you don't know who you're talking to, and...
I think you figure out where your line is, like, as far as, like, how much you're going to facilitate those kind of transactions. Because I remember hearing, because I was too young for this, but my dad threw my stepbrother out of the house when he found marijuana plants growing in his room. He tossed them.
Yeah, but that's
you're gone.
That's pushing it.
It's a tossable offense.
If I go up to Emma's room and she's got a little still and she's making her own booze, this one would be like... Well done, but also you got to dismantle that, and it's a problem.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, maybe by the same line of thinking, my stepbrother wasn't buying marijuana off some sketchy drug dealer, right? Yeah. He's growing his own.
But it was also illegal at that time.
Right, it was illegal at that time. So essentially, my dad is probably implicated in the illegal operation.
Yeah. Meth lab? I mean, is it better than buying meth on the street? Probably. But also illegal and dangerous to have in your own house. Where did he go when he got kicked out?
I don't know. I don't know where he went. He was 18. Okay. So it was like, you're done. You're gone. Get your stuff. Get out. And that was that. You know, that was kind of like the last draw, too. I think he had done a lot of stuff and that was it. But, you know, you're going to have to figure out what your line is with Deb, and then you toss them once they're 18. Go do that somewhere else.
The line is the good bottles of tequila. You
don't
fuck with those. You're out of the house.
You're out. You're gone.
The Class Azul tequila.
Better get your hands off that.
I don't actually own any of that.
How much is that?
$250, $275 or something for that cool bottle.
Tasty.
And that's the entry level bottle. Just the Blanco. Thanks for checking out the podcast. And we'll talk to you soon. And don't forget about our radio show. That's the most important thing. It's our damn radio show.
Yeah, we really appreciate you checking out the radio show. Big deal for us.
95.3 all over the Greater Toronto Hamilton area. And we're on 5:30 tonight, Monday to Friday.
Thank you. Is this weird? I need to ask you guys if you think this is weird. Is it weird if somebody sells you a shirt and then asks for it back because he wants to wear it?
That doesn't really happen.
Yeah. It just happened.
That's weird. That is 100% weird.
So we shop at this vintage clothing store, and my husband Matt bought a bunch of shirts and pants from this place. You know, the owner is kind of a similar size to my husband Matt, so he puts stuff aside for him a lot, and then he's like, oh, I got a whole bunch of stuff for you. So we went and we stocked up, and we got a DM from the guy asking if he could borrow one of the shirts that Matt bought from him because he's going to a wedding next weekend.
Oh.
And he wants to wear the shirt.
I tell you why it's weird. It's weird because he sold him the shirt.
Right.
You know, he paid for it, right? It wasn't like a free bunch of shirts. Matt paid for it. There was a transaction.
Yes.
It'd be like being at a restaurant, okay?
Okay.
The chef comes out and asks for a bite of what you're eating.
Yeah. I think he's having seller's remorse, right? Like, he's like, I shouldn't have sold that shirt. Tommy just sent us a text. Yeah. He says his fiance sold a pair of boots on Facebook Marketplace and then a few weeks later decided she wanted to buy them back.
Oh.
So she circled back and said, I need to buy those back from you.
And if they agreed to sell it, then fine. But sure. If they say, no, I love them, I can't give them up, then whatever.
Yeah.
You can't go back.
You can't go back.
But like she offered to buy them.
Buy them
this
back.
Guy just wants to borrow it.
Yeah.
And maybe it's going to be like he's going to borrow it several times. Oh, I need the shirt again, man. I got something else coming up.
Any chance I can grab that on Wednesday? Are you wearing it Wednesday?
Essentially, they're sharing clothes now, you know?
Yeah. Like they're brothers or something. You know what Matt should say is he sold it to somebody else. Yes. Sell it to me, okay?
Oh, my God.
Just as a joke, let's just see what happens. Have Matt DM the guy back, say, oh, I gave it to my buddy Tucker. He really liked it. So here's his Instagram handle. You can ask him.
Okay.
And see if this guy has like...
It's so ridiculous. I'm like, this is not right.
See if he'll reach out to me and ask for it. How many people removed does he have to be from the shirt where he's still comfortable to DM?
Wendy sent us a text. She says, find out the date of the wedding. Tell the guy you're going to a wedding the same day and he wants to wear the shirt. Matt wants to wear the shirt. Like, it's booked that night.
Or even better, say, yeah, you can borrow it, but I have a function later on that night.
Yes.
I want the shirt back by 11 p.m. because I'm going to this late concert. And that shirt would be perfect. So if we could get together and do a little swap.
Yeah. A window.
Almost like
you're offering him a window.
Cinderella had to come back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before everything turned back to the schlubby clothes and stuff.
Yes.
Have this guy have to get back before midnight.
So weird. I don't even know what's going on.
I love it, though. I love it.
So awkward. Are high heels worth the pain, guys? I mean, they can be so uncomfortable. You see somebody limping around at the end of the night. It's because the shoes are killing us.
When I see people walking with big heels in a downtown environment and they have to watch for the grates and everything,
yeah.
I think, God, that looks like such a pain.
It adds like a whole other thing. Yeah, you got to be careful.
Like a sport. It's a sport.
It's a sport.
You know, like
cobblestone?
People go snowshoeing, people should go like high heel walking.
High heeling?
Yeah.
Snowshoeing.
Same thing.
No, you're absolutely right. Like if I'm going to be in like a cobblestone area, wearing high heels is a terrible idea.
Yeah. I was never a shoe guy. Not really a shoe guy. I mean, I've always appreciated high boots and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a nice short skirt or something.
Ooh, okay,
yeah. But anyway, I've known a couple of people. I had a neighbor who was really into shoes.
Okay.
And my wife loves shoes.
Yes.
And so he loved Deb's shoes. And anyway, I'm like, what is it about shoes that are so hot?
Oh, he was obsessed with your wife's shoes.
Well, just anyone's. Like, he was a shoe guy.
Okay.
Foot guy, you know? And I'm like, I'm not foot guy.
Yeah.
But he said something to me, and then since he kind of taught me the ways, I have a better appreciation. And he was right when he said a high heel changes the way the leg and butt looks.
Yes,
it does. It's what happens to your leg when you're in that high heel.
Your whole body.
Your calf looks, and then, it goes all the way up to the butt. And ever since he sort of taught me the ways, he was like my Obi-Wan Kenobi. I'm like, oh, yeah, I get it now.
Yes,
I get it.
Yes.
And also, because of the curvature of the heel, it also puts the pelvic floor, like, forward. Accentuating the hips and the chest. So, like, everything about it is designed to
change the body
to make it more sexual.
Yeah.
Why the
Put
hell
it on
did
display.
They, why did they even do this study? Because you guys basically just dissected the whole thing. That's absolutely right. They just did this study. It turns out high heels, the hottest thing of all time.
Yeah.
Women are seen as more attractive, feminine, of a higher status, too. when they're wearing stilettos. And people were just shown a silhouette of a woman in high heels. So you couldn't see facial features or anything like that. And they think it's because of the way it shifts a person's lumbar curve. So as soon as that happens, your chest looks more defined. Your butt is raised and looks more defined. You're right. It changes the shape of your leg. I mean, everything changes.
Is there a shoe that a guy could wear that would do something like work boots or anything that would add to the
I guess something with a bit
appeal?
Of heel would probably change the shape of your leg, too.
Yeah.
Make
what
your
about
butt
my
stick
flip-flops? Seeing my toe cleavage? You kind of into that a little bit?
A little too much toe cleavage.
Yes, me.
You know what's kind of cool about high heels, too, is unlike sexy clothes, high heels don't objectify the person wearing them. Like, they don't appear to objectify, whereas sometimes when you see somebody wearing, like, a sexy outfit.
Like one of those tops that have the cutout right at the cleavage. Love those.
Yeah, it's a different vibe. It's a different vibe, the high heel.
Yeah, the cutout is like, oh, that's intentional. You're trying to showcase. You've opened the sunroof on that bad boy.
Yeah, it's like there's a laser beam right at your cleavage, right?
Yeah,
there's
this
keyhole. What am I supposed to look at? You don't even want to look at it, but you're getting zoned into it.
Shoes are a little more subtle about that.
Yeah. There you go. They are worth the pain, I'm sorry to say.
I'll tell you, though, what they're not. The idea of spending $1,000 or $1,200 on shoes, that is what I find insane.
You know what I did for my wedding? I bought a pair of $800 shoes. Manolo
Blahnik.
Whatever.
Manolo.
And I'm not like a brand person, but I thought for my wedding day, I'm going to buy myself a really nice pair of high heels because I bet ya they're just going to be like more comfortable and I'm going to be wearing them all day, blah, blah, blah. No. A high heel is the same.
Yeah.
It's just as uncomfortable as every other high heel shoe. So you're not missing out.
I'm starting to think Bundus is about to make a horrible mistake.
What?
He's looking for a house.
Yeah.
And all weekend, I was busy dealing with stuff at the back of my house, in the backyard, and, you know, trying to fix problems and seeing future problems. And I just thought to myself, all I want to do is have like a condo or something where I can open the door, live there, close the door, leave, and then everything, when I come back,
it's exactly how you left it.
That's not what happened this Friday. I can tell you that.
What happened?
Thursday night, I'm sitting there, I'm watching TV, and I hear this little gurgle. And I'm like, what is that? So I mute the TV. I kind of get up and I walk over and I to the sink and I hear the gurgle again and I'm looking at the sink and I'm like, what's that noise? Like, well, why is it doing that? So I run the tap and
please tell me you stared right into the
I got my eye right
and then this
there.
Huge plume of, you know, sewage came pumping through there right in your face. What is that noise? Let me get closer.
Yeah. I was hoping you leaned over the drain and you heard the gurgle again and then it was a snake and it came and wrapped around your neck.
What is that noise? I'm looking in there. Hello?
Full face wash diarrhea in your face.
Yeah. Is that
Please
what happened?
Tell me how that's how it ended.
Okay, so, you know, I run the tap, the water goes down fine. And Kurgle kind of goes away. So I'm like, all right.
No. Just a little air in the system.
I guess. No big deal, right?
Sure.
Go to bed. Wake up in the morning. Everything's fine in the place. Leave for work. Come back.
Sink's filled with diarrhea.
Yes! Yes!
No!
I don't know. It must have been because that water was brown. It looked like it.
No.
Sludge.
It was disgusting.
Come on.
It was full to the top with this, like, diarrhea colored water.
What?
I was totally joking.
This is your kitchen sink?
Yeah, I can send you a picture. I took a picture of it. It's disgusting. I immediately send an email and a picture of this.
Strongly worded email?
Strongly worded. This needs to be fixed immediately, right?
Yeah, this is what Tucker's talking about. You just send an email, somebody else comes and fixes it.
Yeah, that's fucking, when I have a problem, I'm the guy. I have to do it. You know who you send an email to? Dear Deb.
Deb,
your
Deb.
Wife. Guess what? We got a problem here. Sink's filled with sewage.
Yeah.
Can you please bring up the plunger?
Yeah.
So they get the super to come up. The super comes and he looks at the sink and he goes, oh. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, we're going to need a plumber. I'm like, you think?
Oh, my God.
So we call a plumber. And this guy drains the sink like with a bucket. And he's walking all over my condo with his shoes on. And he's spilling this crap water on my floor. And he's putting it in the toilet. And I'm just like, oh, my God. I have to, like, disinfect this whole place after.
Yeah. Yes.
So he finally...
I mean, you don't even really like your girlfriend spending a lot of time in your condo. Dude. This guy is Dude. Carrying sewage in and out of your kitchen area. Wow.
And so he clears the sink out and he takes the pipe off to kind of like fish out whatever's in there or, you know. And I only have X amount of feet in my, like maybe 6 feet tops until you kind of get to the main line pipe in the building that runs through outside of the condo. This guy used about 60 feet worth of like
snake
to kind of clear out the pipes.
Oh boy.
So thankfully it turned out this wasn't toilet water. People have been dumping grease down their sinks. And
they clogged. I used to do that all the time when I lived in an apartment building. I was on the 7th floor. I'd be like, oh, send it down to 6. This is going to be 6's problem. Grease for sure. Yeah, you think I put that in a little cup and then put it in the fridge and let it harden and then scoop it out like I do now because I know it's going to be my problem if my sink clogs up?
Yeah.
So people bunged up the pipes and I got the brunt of it all.
Yeah, that sucks. But what did they charge you?
Nothing.
That's right.
Yeah, nothing.
That's what I'm talking about, Bundes. Stay in the condo. I mean, things can go wrong, but it's kind of somebody else's problem still.
Yeah. What's the right thing to do if somebody knocks out a tooth in front of you? I don't know if you've ever been in this scenario before, but if it happens, is the right thing to do to stick it back in? B, put it in a cup of milk, or C, put it in your own mouth and go to the dentist with them.
Just keep
it
body
moist.
Temperature. Yeah. I mean, all of those options sound wrong to me, but one of them is the right thing to do. It's going to be the milk. I don't know why. It just seems...
Calcium strength in that tooth,
Yeah, like the idea of shoving it back in just seems like a stupid.
Hold still! Yeah.
It's not like a plant. You know what I mean?
Or is it? It's got the root and everything.
I'm going
milk. It's kind of plant-like.
It's got to be milk.
Guys, it's actually all three. It's all of the above.
Oh.
And there's actually an order. The first thing you should try to do is... Is stick it back in. So the number one thing you're supposed to do is don't pick up the tooth from the root. Don't touch that root at all, just the crown of the tooth. Rinse it with a little bit of water. No soap, no chemicals. And keep it nice and wet and gently try to slide that back into your friend's mouth. That's what friends are for, okay?
No, you know what Bundes' friends would do? They'd just slide it in there, but they'd put it backwards.
Look at your tooth.
Your tooth is in there. It started to grow back, but it's backwards, you idiot.
They actually say...
Do a full 180.
They actually say, even if you put it in backwards, it's actually a great way to keep it alive. So slip it in there. If it's not happening, don't force it. You still got the milk option. So let's say you're trying to put it back in there into Bundes' mouth after he takes a punch in the face. And then you're like, you know what? I can't get this back in your mouth. Let's get a cup of milk. And you put it in the milk and then you have some time to get to the dentist. Okay. Another option, if you have no milk around you at the time.
Worst option of all of them.
And Bundes' mouth is all bloody and swollen. He can't feel anything. Yeah. You put the tooth in your mouth and you keep it in your cheek. And that...
Jeez. How good a friend.
What a great friend you are.
I mean, that's not... There's no friend I don't... I would do it for a kid, maybe.
You wouldn't do that for Bundes?
No. He's putting his tooth in my mouth to keep it alive. No.
Are you kidding?
The guy can go get a new tooth put in, root canal, whatever they have to do. Forget about it.
Are you kidding me? I would put his tooth in my mouth.
You would?
But hold on a second. Like, if you're putting it in your mouth and just putting it against your cheek, because obviously you don't have a knocked out teeth, a hole for it. Why can't I just put it in my cheek if I can't get it back in the hole?
You can do that, but let's say your mouth is filled with blood. You can't even feel like you could swallow it, right? If your mouth is destroyed, you could swallow it.
Okay.
Yeah, you took a puck to the face.
I'm just pouring blood out.
I'll put it in my mouth for you, Bundes. Okay. Now you know who you wish you were in this emergency with. It's me, because Tucker's not putting it in his mouth.
Would you put my tooth in your mouth, Mara?
I would. I damn well would.
For real?
Yes.
Okay. Are you just saying that in case it happens to you that we do it?
To me, it's like if you put down a bottle of beer that you've been drinking and I pick it up by accident and take a swig.
That's gross. I would feel bad for you if you did that.
I don't really care. It's not that big of a deal. I will put your tooth in my mouth and I'll go straight to the dentist with you. If it's not back in the socket within an hour, it's very less likely that they're going to be able to save it.
I wouldn't even give it. I wouldn't let either of you take a sip out of my drink. If you wanted to try a drink I was having, I would have to get another glass and pour a bit into it for you.
Yes, but in an instance where it's an accident and I picked up your drink, I'm like, oh, I thought that was my tequila.
It's over. It's done. Tucker's throwing it out.
You're like, take it?
Yeah, it's yours. Yeah, 100%. For sure. Okay. No, without, I'm not even, unless it was the world was coming to an end.
Right.
It was the last shot that I had access to. Then I might consider drinking it.
All right. Well, good to know, because maybe I won't put your tooth in my mouth and save it. And you could be root canal boy. All right.
Turns out if somebody knocks their tooth out and you're with them, one of the things you can do is to help preserve that tooth so it has a chance of being re-implanted into the person's mouth is you can put that tooth in your own mouth to keep it viable.
Next to your cheek, you know? So it's in like a mouth environment.
Moist,
I know.
Yeah. It doesn't dry out.
So it doesn't die.
Yeah. Kind of like putting a severed finger in a bag of ice or something. So, you know, it has a chance of being reattached.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin wanted to talk about that. What did you want to say, Kevin?
I got to say, first props to Mara. I want her as my friend. She's awesome.
Aww.
Yeah, she put your whole all your teeth in her mouth to keep them alive for you.
It came to my head. I got to ask you, man. So Mara goes through all this trouble. You knock your tooth out. She puts it in her mouth. She rushes to the hospital with you. Do you take it? I mean, you wouldn't take your drink from your beer after she had a sip of it. I just wondered if you take your tooth back.
Oh, good point. Do you even want the tooth after I've put it in my mouth? Or are you like, no, don't put it in your mouth?
I would be okay with it, for one, because, okay. A, it's my tooth. Second of all, they would probably give it a little rinse-a-rooney and some saline or something, you know, before they put it back in. I mean, if a medical professional is reinserting that tooth, I'm going to guess that they're going to do some antibacterial wash on it.
All right, so there's rules, but it would happen. All right, cool. Just curious. I just pictured you after that going, no, you know what? It's yours now.
Darcy sent us a text. He says, has Tucker ever made out with a random at a bar?
I mean, completely random. I didn't know them before going out.
Yes.
At all?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Really? Because of germs? Like, would you be up
for
a random
makeup? Not because of germs, because of my inability to make out with strangers at bars.
But you would make out with a stranger.
Yeah, yeah.
So what is the difference between having your friend Mora put your tooth in my mouth? You're going to make out with a random stranger at a bar, but I can't save your tooth?
Different. It's different. Because it would just be in my mouth, and I'd be thinking about it. And it's just, it's so gross. The thought of having that root and the tooth and the, oh my God.
It's because the random stranger at the bar, there's the potential of sex there.
100%.
Right.
Yeah. If you're making out in a bar, there's a chance you're going to go back home. It's different. Anyway, thanks, Kevin.
No problem. Have a good one.
Okay. We got another text.
Hang on. I just want to point out something.
Yes.
I would be okay with you having my tooth in your mouth. It's the other way around that I would have an issue with.
What's
having your tooth in my mouth.
You won't save my tooth.
No. I would use your tooth as a suppository if that also accomplished the same thing. I'd store it there and then we could go.
Are you kidding me? You would store it there.
Yeah, just knowing that for the rest of your life,
for the rest of my life.
For the rest of your life. Every time you smiled, I'd just be like, I'd die.
You're such a jerk.
I'm not putting it in my mouth, but I'll find another warm, damp place to store it to keep it viable.
Another moist environment?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Great. Thanks. That is terrible.
Well, you know, let's just hope you never lose a tooth in front of me.
That is terrible. Shannon wants to know, would you put Deb's tooth in your mouth? Your wife Deb's tooth?
Yes, I would. I would do it for a family member. I wouldn't do it for more. I'm sorry. Other than the suppository option. Then okay. I'll be like, all right, I'll keep it warm.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for that. That's so nice of you. My cat, Jerry, did something so gross yesterday while I was on the floor doing Pilates. And I had just been looking at him thinking, oh, he's kind of cute.
Your cat, Jerry, is just a nightmare.
It's a nightmare. Nightmare cat.
Your cat is the reason why I would never want to get a cat. Because when it comes down to it, you just never know what you're going to get. You could get like cute, cuddly cat that's super affectionate. Or you can get Jerry.
Doesn't want to be touched. Doesn't want to be picked up.
Like all the best parts of the cat, you can't do. And
he's
all the
bitey.
Worst parts,
yeah.
You get that side of
doesn't
things.
Doesn't like using his litter box, you know, he's just a jerk. So yesterday I'm on the floor in the living room doing Pilates. I look over at Jerry who's sleeping on the couch and I thought, oh, you know, he does bring joy to my life sometimes. He's cute. Look at how cute his face is. Jerry opens his eyes and starts... He puked! He pukes on the couch, right where he's lying. And then he goes back to bed next to the puke.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
Doesn't even move. It's right where I sit. It's my spot on the couch. Was it my Pilates that made him vomit?
He couldn't stand looking at your body contorted in that way.
Like, what are you doing down there?
Oh, woman, cover yourself.
Like what? What was it? What made him puke in that moment? I don't know.
It was you. It was you doing Pilates.
Thinking sweet things about him. He's like, oh God, she's looking at me now. Oh.
You ever done Pilates in front of a mirror? Do you have any idea what you look like when you do this stuff?
I have no idea.
Yeah, well, maybe it's time to look. Maybe your form is horrible. Maybe Jerry has a real respect for Pilates.
Maybe.
And you were just disgusting him with your, you know, inability to hold that plank. Horizontal.
I'm sure my form is not good. I got the scoliosis, right? My back is crooked. Uh-oh. I'm sure my form is a bit off.
Maybe it was the first time Jerry actually saw your back. He's like, ah, scoliosis. Oh, brr.
Yeah. So it literally instigated me cleaning the entire apartment last night, including the couch, which is like the worst thing to clean.
Sorry to hear.
Anybody want a cat?
How old's your cat again?
I don't know. Like middle age.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
You got another 10 years maybe left, eh?
Yeah.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Sarah Silverman shocked the panel on The View when something came up, something she does with her boyfriend. They said it was disgusting what she does.
What does she do?
And I'm wondering if you do the same thing. And if we can find somebody out there who does the same thing. Love to connect with you. What does Sarah Silverman do? She shares a toothbrush with her boyfriend. And I don't mean like they're on vacation, somebody forgot a toothbrush, and you know, you just borrow theirs. I mean, they just use one toothbrush.
Between the two of them.
Between the two of them.
Whoa.
And it came up, and then, you know, she brought up a good point, and her good point also shocked the panel on The View.
Okay.
I've never shared a toothbrush with another person in my life, and for some reason with Rory, we have never not used the same toothbrush. Now, everyone's saying that's so gross. Let me ask you something.
Aww. Yes.
Why is that so gross? We kiss each other where we...
They had to censor her.
I mean, oh my God.
Has a point.
Everyone does that.
Joy. I couldn't handle it. It became too hot
too much
for The View.
Yes.
So just wondering, like, do you share your toothbrush with your significant other regularly? Sonia, what's your take on all this?
It's so gross. It literally, I cringe with the thoughts.
Okay, are you with someone right now?
I'm married. Together for 22 years.
And you wouldn't share a toothbrush with your spouse?
No.
But what if you were at dinner, okay, and they said, oh, you got to try this. This is so good. You got to try this. And they grab a piece of food with a fork or a spoon. Would you allow them to put that in your mouth, or would you take that from them and put it in your mouth?
Yep.
Is it much different than that?
Well, it is, because, like, you're cleaning your teeth and getting the junk out, and, like, ugh, it's like the dirt. It's, I don't know.
Yeah, but you give that toothbrush a rinse-a-rooney and you put that same toothbrush back in your mouth later that day or the next day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's still gross. Tucker, you wouldn't do it either. Don't even.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm trying to get my head around it, and I'm starting to wonder if it really is as gross as it initially appears, you know?
I get the idea. Like, I would totally eat off someone's spoon, off someone's fork. I have no problem with that, whether it's my husband or someone that I know, a friend. I don't know. That doesn't bother me. But the idea of brushing my teeth with a toothbrush that somebody else has used to clean their mouth.
Yeah. It horrifies you.
Sonia.
It horrifies me.
Well, thanks for weighing in, Sonia.
Thank you.
Dan, what's your take on this?
So my partner and I wear the same clothes, like size and stuff. So we share everything. We share even underwear. But I draw the line at toothbrushes.
Oh!
See, that seems a little bit backwards to me.
Right?
Yeah, I think I would choose toothbrush over underwear.
It's not by choice, mind you. Like, I'll be like, what are you wearing? Are those mine? Like, yeah. I'm like, okay, great. We're going here today. Okay, fine.
So do you wear hers or does she mostly wear yours?
He's a guy.
Okay. Well, that's okay. So that's
different.
See, I was thinking, you know, just in my narrow-mindedness, that it was a heterosexual relationship, and that, like, you know, how do you wear like a thong when you have different body parts? But if you have the same body parts, then it makes a little more sense.
But yeah, you still have germ. Yeah. You know, when you think about a toothbrush, it's germ. You know, you're grossed out by the germs there. You're not grossed out by the germs down there.
Well, no. Obviously not, right?
No. So you've never used his toothbrush in an emergency or anything like that?
I mean, you know, I have noticed, like, because we have one of those Oral-B electric whatever.
Yes.
They're expensive. Yeah.
We share, like, we don't share it, but like, we share the actual machine, but we have, like, our own individual colored little head
heads.
Thing.
Yeah.
You must mess that up sometimes. You think it's your head, it's his.
Oh, yeah. Stumbling around at 7 a.m. and, like, halfway through, I was like, oh, my God, this is the red one. I'm like, oh, whatever.
Yeah, so it's happened, but not intentionally. Okay, fair enough. Thanks for your take on this.
All right, guys, love the show.
Catherine sent us a text, too. Finally, guys, I found someone who shares a toothbrush. She said, my husband and I have shared a toothbrush. Sometimes we go for months sharing toothbrushes, and guess what? We're still alive!
They made it.
They're okay. They didn't die.
That's like the person who doesn't mind eating expired meat, you know? You watch Hoarders and they'll be like, that jar of meat sauce is 2 years old. And they're like, I have a spoonful every day. I feel fine, you know?
Maybe they're onto something.
But yeah, maybe it's not so bad. Steven wanted to weigh in on this. Would you? Your take on this is what?
I have a little bit of a different take on it. Everybody keeps talking about kissing and everything, but would you kiss your wife or significant other with their morning mouth?
Yeah, I do that.
Yeah. You do that?
My move in the morning is if I know that there's some potential action coming my way, is I got this little mini Dollarama-sized bottle of Listerine right beside my bed. Yeah. Deb usually gets up. She goes and, you know, goes to the bathroom to do her little pre-routine.
Yeah.
Brushing her teeth, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I give myself a good solid mouthwash.
Where do you spit it?
I have a glass of water that's beside the bed, and I spit it into the glass of water.
You do?
I can't. I have a hard time fooling around with someone if I haven't brushed my teeth. I become super self-conscious about it.
Mm. If sex is coming my way, I'm not turning it down for anything. It doesn't matter what
dirty mouth,
dirty mouth, clean mouth. I'm good to go.
Well, I mean, if there's no access to anything, you just go. You got to be ready for everything.
That's right.
Key to the moment, it just happens. You're still going to the bathroom.
When does it happen in the heat of the moment, though? Like, when are you? Everything's planned in my life now. Or it's, you know it's coming. You see it coming a mile away. You know, the spooning in the morning on a weekend when you have nothing to get up for.
Yeah.
You know where that's leading to.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the time in my life, with the way having two kids and stuff, it's kind of like a window appears it opens up, and then you say something like, oh, are we going to take advantage of this window? I think we should. Okay, we'll meet you upstairs. You know, it's not heat in the moment, lustful things.
You can't fly by the seat of your pants, Bundes. I'm sorry.
That's so sad, man.
Yes, it is sad. It's very sad.
Don't get married. Don't have kids. You won't have to experience
it. You got to find your window. And then when the window's open, you think, oh, I can relax for a second. But you better make it go time, because go time might not come around again.
Do you want to know the last time we fooled around on the main floor of our house?
Yeah, exactly.
1974.
I literally can't even remember.
Yeah.
A time.
I'm trying to think too now. No, can't remember.
Like where we just, the heat of the moment, it was too much to even go upstairs.
Because that is risking that someone's coming downstairs, Bundes. You need a door that you can close,
but
you know?
But Maura, even if the kids are gone out and at sleepovers, like main floor sex doesn't seem to happen for me anymore.
That's crazy, man.
I know. It's crazy.
What are the odds?
It's blowing your mind.
You remember when I told you I had couch sex at the cabin?
Yeah.
Are you starting to realize what a big deal that is?
Apparently,
that
it's huge.
That is blow your mind. Wow. Okay.
I don't even know, and we've owned our couch for 7 years. I don't even know if we've ever even had sex on it. I suspect we haven't. Looking back on it now,
it's time.
You got to do it, man.
Why would I need to do that?
I'm
going to want to lay out a blanket.
We didn't lay out a blanket. We went with the moment. And when you have those windows, you take advantage of them 100%.
Had this whole plan to get a tattoo at the end of June. Had my consult yesterday, something I said threw the whole thing off.
Really?
Yeah. That's it. No appointment.
You told
her on the books
that you had tickets for the upcoming Olivia Rodrigo concert. And she was like, I can't tattoo this guy.
Well, first of all, the Olivia Rodrigo concert has already happened.
Oh, okay.
You told her you were at the concert.
She's like, this loser.
You told her your latest Wordle score.
How'd you do on the latest Wordle?
It was tough the other day. I almost didn't make it.
See?
Let me tell you about Wordle. I was on my sixth guess, and luckily I pulled through. It worked out.
Did you bring that up in the appointment?
No. It wasn't Wordle. Nothing to do with Wordle. She said, your skin disgusts me. I can't look at this for 8 hours.
Yeah. Too many moles in the way.
I just started dry heaving when I rolled up my sleeve.
Yeah. No?
No, that wasn't it. So I sit down with her and I start showing her some of, I actually put together, I like printed off some stuff and then I cut out the things I printed off and then I laid it out on my arm and took a couple of pictures just to give her an idea of what I was going for.
Uh-huh.
Half of it is a picture I took.
Yeah.
Of my sailboat rigging, like the mast and the lines coming down.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted that kind of like laid out on my forearm, and I wanted to incorporate something else that was sort of nautical in it.
Right. She doesn't like the nautical stuff. She's like boats are for losers. No?
Okay. No.
So what was it?
You know what happened? As I said, you know, can I get this thing wet after I get it? And she's like, no.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, well, because I'm planning, like, I'm going to be, you know, taking some long weekends. That's Canada Day long weekend. She's like, what do you have in mind? I'm like, well, I'd like, I go sailing and I swim in the water and I'm learning to wing foil this summer.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, I'm like, how long would I have to be out of the water for? She's like, well, you probably wouldn't want to go swimming in any kind of lake or river for at least 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh god.
Oh, this is not a good time for you to be getting tatted.
She's like, what kind of stuff do you do in the water? And I just started going off on all the different things. Like kiteboarding, I want to learn how to wingboard. I sail, like to swim, wakeboard.
Everything.
Like, it sounds like you're a pretty active guy. And I'm like, well, in the summer, it's my season. You know, I do all the stuff I like to do.
You basically bathe in the lake summer.
I shower. Exactly.
Yeah.
She's like, nah, you know what? Enjoy your summer. Get out of here.
Oh, my God.
She said,
God.
Come back in the fall.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, can I book in the fall? She's like, I don't even know where I'm going to be in the fall. I'm like,
be here anymore.
She doesn't want to book that far out, but she said she'll be around. She just might take a trip or something. So she'll, you know, get in touch with her in August, and we'll book some, put something on the books for the fall. So they, I had a whole plan. I thought I was going to be rocking a killer tattoo all summer, and the whole idea got shot down.
Yeah, you should have done it weeks ago.
Didn't think I was a ween.
Perfect.
She liked the artwork and stuff for the ideas, and I think she's, you know, excited with coming up with a plan, and she's a great artist, so.
Yeah. Are you going to do a microphone on your arm, too? A
big microphone.
Classic radio DJ tattoo?
Yeah, no, I'm not. Anyone I know who's got a microphone tattoo got fired sometime after they got it.
2 weeks later.
Yeah.
It's so true.
I've seen it happen too many times. I'm like, it's a curse.
It's a curse.
So I'm worried, you know, I get like the sailboat tattoo.
Your boat's going to sink.
Then I'm going to like, catch on fire when I'm not near it, come back. It'll just be underwater.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, that's where I'm at with that.
It's Tucker and Maura in the morning.
Energy 95.3.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.